Hello, welcome to Ryan Talks Tax, a podcast to keep you up to date on the latest developments in Canadian tax and government funding. I'm Jim Day. In this episode, we're going to discuss a couple of important developments in Ontario property taxes. We're joined today by Paula Kalagritsis, who's a principal, and Kim Van Vliet, who's also a principal in Ryan's Canadian property tax practice. And both of you are located in Ontario.
Yes.
Right.
Morning.
Hey, welcome to the podcast. So I guess we want to get right to it. Obviously, there's a very big announcement for Ontario property tax coming out of the fall economic statement. But before we get into that, I guess maybe tell us what was supposed to happen or what would normally happen in a typical year for Ontario property tax cycle.
So for the last several cycles, we've been on a four-year assessment cycle. So the province would choose a base year, usually 4 years apart. So the current cycle is based on a January 1, 2016 valuation date. So that means for whichever years the assessment cycle applies, the valuation date is January 1, 2016. So what would the property have sold for on that date? So it was supposed to be in place from 2017 to 2020, so four-year cycle, and the assessments are phased in at 25% of the increase from the last cycle to the current cycle per year, so that you don't have a four-year market hit in 1 year. You see it phased in over the four. And then COVID hit, and it was a combination of, you know, MPAC couldn't get out to see properties and couldn't get a value done, and the province didn't want to hit people with increased assessments while dealing with COVID. So they delayed it to 2022. And then we were expecting an announcement in the spring, which they said they deferred until the fall because they were still doing consultations. And so they delayed it again until at least 2023, and with no commitment to the new role. So we're not sure when the new one is going to come in place, but it was supposed to be a four-year. The last three assessment cycles have been four-year cycles. But really, the history of Ontario property taxes, that there's never been any consistency. We went to a market value system in 1998, and they went, you know, a three-year roll, a two-year roll, a one-year roll, then back to two, three, four. So we've been going up and then down. And so we're not sure what to expect in the next cycle. There are a lot of interested parties pushing for an annual cycle because that works well in Alberta and British Columbia. But with a province this big, with this many properties, I believe the assessing authority, MPAC, is going to have a little bit of trouble with an annual roll, but we'll see.
So that was the big announcement I was referring to in the economic statement. Basically, they're putting off any potential reassessment for properties in Ontario until at least, we think, 2024, which basically creates a 6 or 7 year cycle, doesn't it? Which, you know,
it does. So we're now in a 7 year cycle. So instead of 4 years, it's at least seven. And in that fall economic statement, there was no commitment on when the next reassessment is going to be. If we had stayed on the regular course of action of having a four-year assessment cycle starting in the 2021 tax year, the next assessment cycle would start in 2025. So there's some speculation, and it's just that speculation, that the next assessment cycle may start in 2025 just to go back onto the regular schedule assessment cycles that, you know, everyone was expecting. But we'll see. We don't know at this point.
Yeah, well, that's very interesting. Like, I know as like a homeowner, I'm starting to think that by the time they get around to doing a new assessment on my property, my tax bill is just going to go, you know, completely through the roof. So, I mean, the value of the house is probably doubled in the last 6 or 7 years. Is that how it works, or what are the implications for taxpayers of such a delay in the reassessment for the cycle?
Well, the Kim? Part of the problem is that you know, market value, which is what your house would have sold for in 2016, which is the current value, is not reflected in your 2021 or 2022 tax bill, right? So it's quite old. Everybody
definitely not. Yeah, it's definitely lower than what
I can't imagine.
Before.
I can't imagine there's a single house in the city, in the province of Ontario, that hasn't increased in value since 2016. And so, you know, part of the fear, I think, on the part of the province is that they don't want to send out assessment notices to people that have a doubling of their value or tripling for that matter, because it freaks people out, and rightfully so. But how the tax system works is, as the assessment base goes up, the tax rates come down. And the reason for that is because municipalities, by law, have to maintain a net neutral revenue base. So they can increase their base for budgetary needs, you know, a couple of percent, usually nothing drastic, right? And so, you know, if you imagine a municipality's assessment base, or tax base rather, is $1 million, they split that up in between residential and commercial and industrial and multi-residential. And then the next year, maybe they can increase that to, I don't know, 1.1 million at most, say, right? That would be a big increase. And so that base just gets spread out again across the different asset types. And each of those property types has its own tax rate. And so if your assessment, you know, if the average residential assessment goes up 150%, then the tax rate is going to come down maybe 148%, right? There'll be a little bit of a budgetary increase there. And so, practically speaking, for you as an individual, how it would work is, if your assessment on your house went up 150%, then your taxes might go up 2%, right? The delta between the tax decrease and their budgetary increase. If your house went up only 110%, your taxes are going down. But if your house went up 200%, then your taxes are going up. So that's the basics of how that works. And that's true for any property class.
So
unfortunately, sorry, and just to add,
go ahead, Paula. Yeah.
The longer we go in between assessment cycles, there is the potential of the pain being a bit worse for some property owners and some residential homeowners, especially that might be in pockets of a municipality that have increased more than other pockets in that same municipality. So the city of Toronto, for example, certain areas in Toronto have increased more than other areas within the city. And so the same tax rate is applied, but your house might have increased 3 times versus the average of 1.5 times. And so that pain is going to be a little bit more significant on a residential taxpayer, because instead of having that increase phased in over the first 4 years that we were supposed to be in right now, that increase is going to be an 8-year increase, but only get phased in over a 4-year period. So there's going to be certain property types and certain property owners that feel the impact of a non-reassessment harder than other property type owners or other residential homeowners, depending on where you are.
Yeah, it would have been smoothed out had they kept with the 4-year cycle. It would have been smoothed out, right? You phase in 4 years and then you do another 4-year phase in, and it you know, there's usually an upward trajectory, but it's smooth and you know, relatively consistent. With a 7 or an 8 year cycle, it's volatile, right? You're going to see, you know, industrial has exploded over the last 8 years and retail is coming down, or at least at the very least remaining flat. So there's a big shift in that.
So on the residential side, we can sort of count on value is going to go up, but the taxes will be adjusted to reflect that fact. And I guess it basically comes down to how much money does a municipality need in its budget. Is that done at the municipal level, or is it more centralized in Ontario?
It's done at the municipal level, but there are rules, there are confines, right? They have to work within. So the tax rate is made up of at least 2 parts. Sometimes, depending on the municipality, it could have a county level as well, or like a regional level. But it's the municipal portion and the provincial portion. And the provincial portion is the education rate. And the education rate has been holding. I believe the province, I forget which year, but they wanted to decrease the education rate over time. and hold that firm for a while. So they did that. And so that's relatively constant. And then the municipal portion, and depending on the municipality, Toronto, it would be less municipal, more provincial, but somewhere like Sudbury or somewhere in the north would be the opposite. And so the municipal portion can only go up so much, right? They have a whole number that they're allowed to budget, and then they can add to that, but not, you know, I forget what the rules are, but it's not significant. I don't know if I've ever seen it go up more than a couple of percent.
So there will be some parameters there. You're not just completely trusting your local mayor to do the right thing.
No, exactly.
when it's time to balance his budget. Okay. Or, pardon me, when it's time to balance his or her budget. Very interesting. How about, Kim, you mentioned industrial and retail. How about on the commercial side? Like, what's the impact of holding off on the reassessment for so long?
Well, it's really significant. I mean, sorry to the industrial taxpayers, but those, like, rents are going up, sales are going up, I mean, by double and triple. And so that's going to be reflected in the next assessment roll. But on the other hand, office and retail, partly because of COVID and partly probably that was going to be a natural evolution anyway, that the need for that space is just declining. We've been seeing it for years in retail. And I think we're starting to see it in the rents. So I think we're going to see a shift from commercial to resident to industrial. And I think that's going to have an impact on the industrial world.
And then the obvious property types that have been impacted the most by COVID are now paying taxes on market values that didn't contemplate a global pandemic by any imagination. So
yeah, we haven't even talked about hospitality.
Hospitality properties, anything to do with the tenants and properties in and around the airports or airport-related properties, they've suffered, and they've suffered greatly. And their taxes and value, the value that their taxes is based on, is based on, you know, somewhat of a peak of a market in terms of hospitality-type properties and traveling and people being out and about, and restaurants have been hit hard. Like, there's a lot of property types that would have benefited from a reassessment that might have had some contemplation on what the market impact was due to COVID. But unfortunately, without this reassessment, it's difficult for those property types because the market valuation date is still January 1st, 2016. Yeah, we're in the 2022, going into the 2022 tax year.
That does seem like a long time ago, the valuation date. Yeah. What are their options? I mean, if you're sitting there, you think your value's too high, what can you do? I mean, you don't just want to wait until finally it gets corrected. You know,
no, absolutely not. So there's still an opportunity to appeal. The appeal deadline for the 2022 tax year is March 31st of 2022. And we know for sure that the assessment cycle has been extended out to 2023. So any influence or any reduction that's done, you can get on the property would be in effect for at least 2 years and maybe even longer. So there's still, I think, any property that has been hit or impacted due to COVID, it's important that you do appeal because, you know, we're a bunch of creative minds over here that we can see what we can do and to try and influence the value and bring the value down that might be more reflective to what the current state of the property is. There is a section of the Assessment Act that the properties have to be valued to their current state and condition. And so that argument now is being tested within the appeal cycle and the appeal process. So I think there are some opportunities for sure. I think it's always important that you protect yourself and appeal your property if you think that there's a chance that you can get it reduced.
And normally, you know, if you're in an assessment cycle that you know the parameters of, so you know there's a beginning and an end. If your value is okay, if you look at your assessment, you go, yeah, that's probably what I could sell it for. Maybe you don't do anything with it, right? You say, oh, I don't need to appeal that. It's fair. It's reasonable. But when you don't know when it's going to end, maybe you go, well, if there's an opportunity to reduce this assessment, then if I'm going to sit with this, you know, the last time they did, I don't know the exact dates. The last time they froze the assessment roll, I think it was frozen for like 40 years. So imagine if you didn't do anything about that, you could just be sitting with it for a very long time. I mean, I don't think that's what's going to happen here, but you know, if it's going to be 2022, 23, 24, that's 3 years of taxes that you could potentially mitigate a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, that's very interesting. I know in that fall economic statement, the government sort of indicated, hey, this is a way to give some certainty to taxpayers, you know, about what the valuation is going to be. But it seems to me that statement is a little bit ironic because they've actually created a little bit of uncertainty in terms of, well, when is the valuation actually going to get close to market value?
And, yeah, it makes it very
difficult. And what are my options, you know, in the meantime? So to me, I'm not sure they're getting the certainty they intended with that decision.
Well, and it makes it difficult for property owners who are buying. So, you know, our clients will come to us and ask, you know, what are the taxes going to be for the next 5 years on this property that we're buying? We're like, that's tough to know. You know, we can run a bunch of scenarios and say, well, if they have a reassessment in 2024, this is what it might look like. Or 2025, this is what it might look like. And if they don't, then this is also what it might look like. But it's very, for buyers who are buying a property they don't know, they're not sure, you know, they're probably paying a lot more for it right now than it was assessed in 2016. So it's unclear for those buyers what their taxes might be. So there's a lot of uncertainty there. And then, you know, sure, there's certainty for hotels and retail and the properties that have been suffering, but certainty at a level that is not comfortable for them.
Yeah, no, I agree. It seems like it's one of those situations where we're getting more questions than answers out of Ontario right now. I wanted to ask you both about another development in Toronto specifically. And that's my understanding is they're giving a lot of consideration to introducing a special property tax subclass for small business. And I guess, you know, is that true? Like, do you think that's going to happen? And what are the implications of that on business taxpayers?
So City Council has adopted this small business tax subclass for the 2022 taxation year. At this point, not quite sure how the program is going to work. I do know you don't have to apply to get this lower tax rate, but I haven't seen any documentation on how the City of Toronto is defining small business and how that works when it's a small business located in a large property and how that tax rate gets applied correctly to the tax roll because there isn't separate assessments anymore. So it's one assessment times the tax rate. And so at this point, a little unsure on how all the mechanics will work and how that will get passed down to the actual small business. Because, you know, 9 times out of 10, the small business owner doesn't own the property. They're a tenant of the property. And so it's an easier formula when they're, you know, the sole occupier of a property. But when they're in a multi-tenant situation, it's a bit unclear at this point on how that small business tax class will get applied to the actual small businesses.
But it is in the budget for the city for 2022. Okay, so it's definitely happening. I guess it'd be important then to make sure, assuming you're paying the property taxes, that you're in the right category if you do qualify. Once the criteria come out, or once it's clear where the line is for a small business versus another type of business.
Yeah, it's going to be. It could be a little bit complicated. You know, the city is going to have a department or a unit handling this, I think. And so as soon as we get clarity on what that process looks like, we'll certainly come back on and talk about that to help people navigate that system. But Toronto's usually the first one out of the gate on these kinds of things. So we could see other municipalities jumping on too, which we'll just add layers of complication because if each municipality gets to define what a small business is, that means we could have, you know, potentially 400 different approaches to this program.
Yeah, I mean, that's a really good point. I mean, what you consider to be a small business in Toronto might be, you know, a larger business, I guess, in a different center. So maybe if they had different criteria, that would be confusing. I think you're right about that. Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, if they do it based on property value, then your property value, if you're a small business in Toronto, may be completely different than it would be in, you know, Sault Ste. Marie or somewhere further outside of the GTA.
And before this subclass, like, how did they normally treat small business? Was it was there a separate rate for them, or was it a regular rate, or?
Toronto has a separate rate currently, which I understand is going to go away now that they're implementing this new subclass. But I don't think I have ever heard of other other municipalities with lower rates. So it's just Toronto, and yeah, they have a slightly lower rate for the first $1 million of assessment on every commercial property in.
That's not specific to small business.
It's not specific to small business.
Gotcha.
So on a big property, it means very, very little. Like, it gets drowned out by the taxes on the post, the above $1 million. But on a small property, it would make a bit of a difference, but there's just not many of those. I mean, you can't even buy a house in Toronto for $1 million, never mind a commercial property.
That's true. Yeah, very good point. Does this really just shift some of the tax burden from smaller businesses to other ones? Like, doesn't the city still need X amount of revenue? So does it, you know, does a decrease, I guess, in the property tax rate for small business mean an increase for other businesses in the same region?
It'll mean a property increase for somebody. Yeah, we're not sure where it'll go.
Okay.
So the tax rates get set in the spring when they're doing their the budget processing at the municipal level. And so that's when we'll get some, you know, better understanding on where that shift might be happening as a result of the small business subclass tax rate.
So I guess we'll have to wait and see in the spring how that all
plays
out.
That seems to be the common theme in Ontario. Wait and see.
Wait.
Yeah, well, that's a great point, because I think this spring, right, there's a provincial election coming up. So I guess that could play into the future of property tax in Ontario as well.
I think it's going to have a pretty big impact on what the future of property tax looks like in this province.
We hope so. I think everybody, well, I don't know about everybody. I think a lot of people are hoping to get back to a market value system so that they're, you know, nobody wants their taxes to go up, but they'd like to know that they're not going to face a massive increase in a year or two, right? Like, let's get it over with. Let's show people, you know, the province needs to show people that just because your assessment's going up doesn't mean that your taxes are going up by the same magnitude. It's going to be more painful the longer we wait, as Paula said earlier.
Well said. Kim, Paula, great insights, great discussion today. Thank you for your time. That concludes this episode of Ryan Talks Tax. My thanks again to Kim Van Vliet and Paula Kaligritsis for their insights. For more information on Ontario property taxes, check out our website at ryan.com/Canada/news and insights. And be sure to let us know what you think about the podcast. You can send your questions, comments, or suggestions to webinars@ryan.com. Thanks for listening.